Well, I'm set up pretty well for the different parts of the nitrogen cycle. We've been kind of hanging out below ground in the first set of presentations. I'm going to take you above ground to the beautiful organic farms of the Willamette Valley. So just a preface about organic in general. There's a lot of interest in organic. It's not a huge acreage in even Western Oregon at the present time, but it's growing. And you have kind of a situation where you have a nutrient source that is pretty complicated, all these organic inputs, and then you have the lack of ability to deliver those sources in a timely way, usually. So it's a pretty difficult system to work with, and you're also working with a lot of smaller farmers that don't have always the greatest sophistication in what they're able to do. Okay, so the big issue becomes that as you farm organically, you build up a readily mineralizable source of nitrogen in your soil, which responds to temperature and moisture to deliver the nitrogen to the plants. In the western region, NRCS has a tech center in Portland, Oregon that I work with, and they also have a very strong certification organization, Oregon TILF. And believe it or not, organic farmers want to get paid for doing conservation practices just like other farmers. And so they didn't have a practice standard, and they just put one together in 2013. And it's kind of rudimentary organic management, nutrient management, looks a lot like a CAFO plan if you work with those. You're looking at different sources and kind of doing a input-output or a budget approach to nitrogen management. So the components of that are that the growers asked to estimate a nitrogen requirement for a crop and to give some credits for where nitrogen comes from that's not fertilizer. So today I'm going to be talking mainly about the mineralization piece, which is the hard one. I'll talk some about the nitrogen from the cover crop, which we've actually been doing a work on, and we feel like we've got some better information there. And I'm not going to touch nitrogen from irrigation water, which works out well because our previous and our next speaker are going to talk about that. So here's the nutrient management dance, if you would. Steps that you go through in a nutrient management planning process, estimating what you need, coming up with credits from these different sources. And then I've added a couple steps down here below that aren't actually part of the planning process, but which I think would really be really, really helpful in the long term in terms of improving the system. Would be to monitor things and actually make changes based on the monitoring. That's kind of our weak link, that we're good at planning, but less good at monitoring. Okay, one thing that's been developed recently that's been pretty popular with organic growers is this, it's called an organic fertilizer and cover crop calculator. And what this tries to do is to make a process whereby a grower can make some decisions about inputs that are based on how much nitrogen is provided and the cost of that nitrogen. And in the organic world, one of the good things is the nitrogen costs a lot of money if you're trying to control the inputs, so there's a natural break on the system in terms of if you have to buy nitrogen to bring onto the farm and your nitrogen costs maybe 5 or 10 times as much as nitrogen from a fertilizer bag, then all of a sudden you're way interested in knowing what your credit is, so you don't have to apply as much fertilizer. So we have a relatively simple spreadsheet. Inputs go in. There's a magic regression equation working in the background to estimate inputs, how much nitrogen you get per unit of input. A few details about that. The user is asked to put in the total nitrogen analysis of the organic fertilizer. In most cases, unless we're talking about compost, total nitrogen will be a good indicator of carbon-nitrogen ratio, because usually you've got about 40% carbon in a lot of these fresh organic materials. We're trying to estimate nitrogen release at 4 and 10 weeks after application, because the 4-week is kind of for short crops what they need, and they need to know a longer season nitrogen availability, 10-week, or as it's called here, full season. And to make things work, we have the world of organic fertilizer divided into three parts, just like Caesar divided Gaul into three parts. We have the fresh stuff, seed meals, fish, animal manure that hasn't been composted, compost, and then cover crops. So the basis of the calculator is that we did some field trials, and what we saw in the field trials was that we got, using a nitrogen fertilizer equivalency approach in the field, we got numbers that were pretty close to what we could do in the lab with a simple incubation. So for most of the cover crop work that I'm going to show you, we don't have a lot of field trials, but we did the incubations for lots of different cover crops to come up with a verification of the equation we've got in there. For the other materials, this is not, you know, a highly pretty curve you're looking for in research. We got a lot of variability around our prediction, but that's realistic for these materials, that you're not going to get a prediction that's as accurate as you could get taking nitrogen out of a fertilizer bag. But basically what this says is that if your total N is less than 2%, then you're applying a soil amendment, really, not a lot of nitrogen value. Once you get above 6%, then you expect the nitrogen availability to be 75% or probably greater. This curve is built to be a little bit conservative, so that, you know, we've seen some situations you can see on here with these blue stars that we're getting close to 100% recovery. So the cover crops, we're using the, my students have called this the dirt in the bag method. I think there's probably a more, scientific way of describing it, but basically we're taking cover crops, bringing in the sushi chefs and cutting the cover crops up, mixing with soil, and incubating in the moist soil for 4 and 10 weeks. So that's how we got our data. So here's an example of that kind of data. The red line in this case is a literature prediction equation developed by V. Hill and Kissel in 1991. Turned out that their curve was a reasonable fit for our data. So rather than going through the exercise of creating my own curve, I decided to just blame it on them and use their curve for the relationship between cover crop, total nitrogen, and plant available nitrogen release. All right, so now I want to talk about the nitrogen mineralization piece, because that's probably the area that is the biggest gap. And talking about, you know, where we've been, and this is where we're going. We need to understand this. We don't really have it figured out very well yet. In organic agriculture, there's this concept of soil building. So soil building goes on usually at the start of a new organic enterprise. And at some point, you reach an equilibrium and you're at this higher level of nutrient availability. And in the case of nitrogen, you're talking about greater mineralization rates. This is assuming that you got kind of a fairly constant input regime. So what we find is that when you get into this organic system for a while, that you're kind of like a manured system, that a lot of your nitrogen that is plant available this year actually comes from soil mineralization rather than what was applied this year. So what we see with farmers, though, is they tend to keep the same management year after year after year, so over time they'll have more nitrogen than they think they have. Here's an example of how much nitrogen we can recover in potato plants that are grown without fertilizer. In some of our western Oregon soils that might have 3% organic matter. So this was actual biomass sampling that got these numbers, and each of these points is a different farm in our 10-farm survey. And so you can see that, you know, potatoes, they use a lot of nitrogen, but you're getting close to 150, 200 pounds of nitrogen in this system from mineralization. Probably one of the most disappointing areas of research in soil science that I know about is the quest to come up with with an accurate soil nitrogen mineralization test. There are probably a number of papers here this time that are presenting about, you know, tests that are better. This research has been going on for a while, and in general, it's characterized by the lack of fit between a measurement that you make about soil organic matter status and an actual mineralization rate that is observed. This holds true whether you're talking about soil organic matter itself or some fraction of soil organic matter. You tend to get numbers that don't give you very much confidence. So my proposition is that, you know, we gain more from doing less pre-plant testing and doing more monitoring. So what I like about monitoring during the season for nitrate is it's actually bringing together all these different sources. In organic, we're not going to use it like a pre-side dress test because you can't pre-side dress, you can't apply a lot of these nitrogen sources during the season. You can if you're fertigated, like you would be in some of the California situations, with drip and so forth. But in our systems, we can use it as a report card or get an idea of where we're at in relation to some objective criteria. So here's an example of what I'm talking about. These are two farms, Farm M and Farm S. This was a cover crop study, but I want you to pay attention really to the red squares at the bottom. Farm M obviously has some mineralization going on, but they actually need the nitrogen from the cover crop. Farm S, on the other hand, they've got quite a bit of nitrogen at the beginning, and it's like the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps on going up. So by the end of the season, or the middle of the season, they're up to 40 parts per million. So these are obviously two different systems, and we'd be making a mistake to be using the same credits even if they look the same on paper. We've done the same thing with sweet corn, looked at, you know, whether if you pre-plant apply organic fertilizer, does the soil test taken at the PSNT timing, does that actually tell you things? And it looks like, in general, the numbers that are PSNT from manure world, which are usually about 25 parts per million, those are reasonable numbers for this organic production world as well. So I'm going to skip that one and get to the end, and that is that what I'm proposing is that where we need to go is to have some mechanism for actually doing more monitoring during the season, and we need to involve the people that are actually on the ground, namely the CCAs, horticulturists, in trying to do that. The challenge is that in organic, you don't have a well-developed group of these farm advisors that would be doing this kind of monitoring. So both the tool to actually do the monitoring and the people to interpret the monitoring are kind of missing from the scene at the present. But that's where we need to go. So with that, I think if we want to add a few more bells and whistles to it, some computer tools that will be talked about later by others can help out with things. Understanding when mineralization happens is largely a function of temperature in an irrigated system. And that's the conclusion.
Thank you. Yeah.